Really doesn't look as long as it seems. I just have a lot of sources here. The Holy Love message is calling us to be holy in the present moment. And in order for us to do that, we have to say yes. We have to surrender our wills. We have to abandon ourselves and cling to Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification." And that's why we were all created, to be saints, to be holy. In the Bible it says, "You shall be holy, for I, your Lord, your God, am holy." Well, I picked up a little book by Mother Teresa on total surrender. Certainly, if anyone abandoned their self for holy love, it was neither. And in this book, I'll just read a few quotes. She's quoting scripture, "Disgrace, because you and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." And that when we try to abandon ourselves and cling to God, he's actually pruning us so that we can bear more fruit in the world. "We must be full of holy ambition to be the holiest." This is Mother Teresa speaking to her sisters. "There is so much unhappiness, so much misery everywhere. Our human nature stays with us from beginning to end. We must work hard every day to conquer ourselves. We must learn to be meek and humble of heart. Let us try to give everything to Jesus, every word, every moment. Jesus, use my eyes, my ears, my feet. My resolution must be firm to become a saint. Jesus said, learn of me." In our meditations, we should always say, "Jesus, make me a saint according to your own heart, meek and humble." Remember last week we talked about humility and how hard that was. Well, this is even harder. We must respond in the spirit in which Jesus meant us to respond. We know him better now through meditations and the study of the gospel, but have we really understood him in his humility? Does this humility appeal to us, attract us? Humility is nothing but truth. What have we got that we have not received? Asked St. Paul. If I have not received anything, what good have I on my own? If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. If you are blamed, you won't be discouraged. If anyone calls you a saint, you won't put yourself on a pedestal. If you are a saint, thank God. If you are a sinner, don't remain one. Christ tells us to aim very high, not to be like Abraham or David or any of the saints, but to be like our Heavenly Father. Now Mother Teresa is still talking to her nuns. She says, "Self-knowledge puts us on our knees, and it is very necessary for love. For knowledge of God produces love, and knowledge of self produces humility." Self-knowledge is a very important thing in our lives. As St. Augustine says, "Fill yourselves first, and then only will you be able to give to others." The greatest mistake is to think one is too strong to fall into temptation. The first step to becoming is to will it. St. Thomas says that sanctity consists in nothing else than a firm resolution, the heroic act of a soul abandoning herself to God. By an upright will, we love God, we run towards God, we reach Him, we possess Him. St. Augustine says, "My progress in holiness depends on God and myself. I become incapable of union with God." We must have a real and become incapable of union with God, the only source of really afraid of resolute souls. Everything depends on these two or three words, "I will," or "I will not." I must put all my energy into this will. What is a saint but simply a resolute soul, a soul that uses power plus action? To resolve to be a saint means I will despoil myself of all that is not of God. I will strip my heart and empty it of all created things. I will live in poverty and detachment. I will renounce my will, my inclinations, my whims and fancies, and offer myself as a willing slave to the will of God. Nothing can make me holy except the presence of God, and to me the presence of God is fidelity to small things. Fidelity to small things will lead you to Christ. Infidelity to small things will lead you to sin. So that's total surrender. Now we'll go to divine intimacy. Are you up for it? If you wish to start resolutely on the road of total detachment, the only sure road to divine union, you must put the axe to the root of the tree. That is, you must break off and pull up the root of your attachments, that inordinate tendency to enjoy or to seek satisfaction in yourself, in your pride, or in other creatures. It is true that you were created to enjoy, but to enjoy God. However, God is not present to your senses, while yourself and the things of the earth are so close to you. Hence, instead of looking beyond yourself and all creation in order to reach God, instead of making use of creatures to help you rise toward the Creator, you pause and seek your happiness in them. You pause with an inordinate affection, and for this grain of satisfaction, you bind your heart to earth and become incapable of union with God, the only source of real happiness. This inordinate desire for pleasure is the thing which turns your desires and affections towards creatures instead of fixing them on God. This is the root of every attachment, no matter how slight. In order to mortify completely this inordinate attachment, St. John of the Cross says, if something is presented to the senses which is not solely for the honor and glory of God, give it up and deprive yourself of it for the love of Jesus. I don't know if I could give up Diet Coke. You know, when our puppy was little, she got in a lot of trouble. And I'm just, this is an aside, this isn't in the book. And she crawled under the bed one night. We have a queen-size bed, and under the bed was this plastic box. So now she's under the bed, and she crawls into the box. And she got stuck. And she couldn't get out. We had a rescuer. And Blessed Mother told me that's like a soul who has not abandoned himself and surrendered to me. They're stuck in a box. They cannot grow spiritually. So I guess I have to give up Diet Coke. Well, let's see, where was I? The saint does not mean that you must live without any pleasure or satisfaction. This would be impossible, as man is created for happiness. However, he does tell you to renounce all the pleasures which are displeasing to God, and to put all your pleasure and satisfaction solely into accomplishing the will of God, giving him pleasure and procuring his glory. This was Jesus' life. He could say, I do always the things that please the Father. If your way of acting or speaking satisfies your self-love, but you know that it does not please God, then you must give it up. If a conversation, a friendship, or a comfort pleases you, but you doubt whether it is pleasing to God, you must give it up. If your will urges you to do something which may be even slightly contrary to the will of God, you must refrain from doing it. In all these cases, St. John of the Cross continually, in which I constantly ask of the Lord, oh, how many of us there are who nothing for the pleasure of senses, or even of the mind or will, if it is not perfect agreement with the will of God. There is only one choice, to live for the self or to live for God. If you act for your own selfish satisfaction, even in small matters, you will never be able to live totally for God. If pride, for example, you are unwilling to combat and overcome your pride, which has been offended, and you are impatient or cross with someone, it is evident that you prefer to act for the satisfaction of self rather than to please God, for God loves virtue, not defects. You must always substitute for the tendency to seek your own satisfaction, the desire to seek God's satisfaction and pleasure. This is what St. John of the Cross means when he suggests detachment, not as an end in itself, but as a means of becoming more closely united with God, not to leave you in a vacuum, but to direct you quickly to God. Okay, we're almost done. The next book is A Year with the Saints, and I just have a couple quotes in here. The first one is from St. John of the Cross. The object of all virtues is to bring us into union with God, in which alone is laid up all the happiness that can be enjoyed in this world. Now, in what does this union properly consist? In nothing save a perfect conformity and resemblance between our will and the will of God, so that these two wills are absolutely alike. There is nothing in one repugnant to the other. All that one wishes and loves, the other wishes and loves. Whatever pleases or displeases one, pleases or displeases the other. This is from St. Teresa the Great. Those deceive themselves who believe that union with God consists in ecstasies and raptures, and in the enjoyment of him. For it consists in nothing except the surrender and subjection of our will and our thoughts, words, and actions to the will of God. And it is perfect when the will finds itself separated from everything and attached only to that of God, so that every one of its movements is slowly and purely the volition of God. This is the true and essential union which I have always desired and which I constantly ask of the Lord. Oh, how many of us there are who say this and who think we desire only this. But wretched that we are, how few are ever to attain it. She was a doctor of the church. Okay, this is again from St. Teresa. As the Lord and in your hands, for you lead me about and turn me about as you he sees to be most for his own glory. And in your hands, for you lead me about and turn me about as you will. Stay in not submitting ourselves totally to whatever he wishes to do with us. And this is from Francis de Sales. There are many who say to the Lord, I give myself wholly to thee without reserve. But there are few who embrace the practice of this abandonment, which consists in receiving with a certain indifference every sort of event as it happens in conformity with divine providence, as well afflictions as consolations, contempt and reproaches as honor and glory. Okay, the last quote. This is from Imitation of Christ, chapter 15, and it's Christ speaking to the disciple. My child, in every circumstance, this is how you should pray. Lord, if it be your will, so let it be. If it be to your honor, let it be fulfilled in your name. Lord, if this be for my good, give me the grace to use it for your honor. But if you know that it will be harmful to me and not profitable for the good of my soul, then take away from me such a desire. Not every desire comes from the Holy Spirit, even though it seems good to you. It is difficult to judge rightly whether a good or evil spirit urges you to desire this or that, or whether you're being prompted by your own spirit. Many have been deceived in the end who at first thought they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is with fear of God and a humble heart that you should desire and ask for whatever comes to your mind as desirable. With entire abandonment of yourself to God, commit all things to me, saying, Lord, you know what is best for me. Let it be done according to your will. Give me what you will, in whatever measure you will, and at whatever time you will. Do with me what you know to be best, as pleases you best, and as will best promote your glory. Put me where you will, and freely do with me in all things according to your will. Am I not your creature and in your hands, for you lead me about and turn me about as you will? I am your servant, ready to do all things at your command, for I do not want to live for myself, but only for you. If only I could do this worthily and perfectly. Remember, that's what the Archbishop said when he was here, that when we pray, we first have to surrender everything, and that means our own will, not just our petitions.